Well, the great American eclipse of 2024, or the great eclipse, but it was for us here in the United States such a unique time because the path of totality cutting right across central United States, right across the Midwest, and then up through the Northeast. So many, I mean, it's hard to even use the word incredible because I don't think that describes it enough, but images of the totality, you know, our own meteorologist, Eric Alf, we'll talk about that in a second. He had a chance to see this firsthand, and man, you know, I'm just thinking back in the images. I know this is a podcast; you know, we can't show them, but
it's up on his socials,
yeah. Right. The only problem with the weather, you know, for all these locations was this high and mid-level cloud deck that was just stubborn, anywhere from Texas up through the Midwest, through Ohio. And even into areas like the, you know, upstate New York and Vermont. But I know that in areas in those areas and then over in parts of Ohio, there was some clearing right before the eclipse started. So there
yeah,
was some
a little bit
that.
Of a weak, or as we call it, shortwave kind of pushed through early in the morning. Had some thunderstorms in Ohio and a little bit of rain up there. But that was actually good news because it cleared things out quickly and let high pressure build in a little bit. Whereas a lot of the areas in more the central and the south are dealing with, well, still the same low pressure system that's kind of stalled out. That'll bring severe weather down there over the next few days. But that's kind of what inhibited the cloud cover, all those upper level clouds as well. But the good news with it being the upper level, there was still like a little bit of visibility in those spots. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't like that low level where it just completely blocks everything. So you still got that lighting effect in a few places, maybe if you didn't see the moon directly moving in front of the sun,
right.
Like in places like the Northeast, they got to see that and see that 360-degree sunrise. That was my favorite part, seeing that, was just kind of like light switch turned back on. It was pretty cool.
That was really cool to see that in the videos. And you're right, too. If people weren't able to see the actual totality of the moon crossing over the sun, which is in itself incredible because that's the one time you can take off those solar glasses is during totality. Because that aura around, you know, the shape of the moon, that doesn't damage your eyes.
Yeah, the corona.
Right.
That's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if the clouds were blocking that, it wasn't.
Couldn't get that cool glowing
Couldn't get that cool look, but the 360-degree sunrise that you talked about, all of that,
yeah,
getting dark.
Yeah, it's just immediate, and it was pretty
Everybody
cool.
could see that, even with the clouds.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people traveled for it. I believe they reported the United States. This is the biggest travel event of the year, and I would assume probably holds true all the way through the holidays. So big event nonetheless. A lot of people were stranded on the roads, I saw, too.
And, I did see that.
But, I mean, at
Not
least, with the, eclipse,
at,
at least with the eclipse, you still saw it. You just might have been stuck on the roads.
Well, I likened it to, and I was talking to some of my good friends back at market I used to work in Dayton, Ohio. Western Ohio was right in the path of totality. And they were, you know, preparing for this for months and months from just a logistical standpoint, all the towns and the state patrol was out just trying to figure out how they were going to keep people from, like, parking on the interstate highways there.
Yeah.
And it was getting to locations wasn't the problem. It was leaving.
Because everyone's going to leave right after.
Right at the same time. Everyone gets there when they kind of want to, and then you leave at the same time. It's like a sporting event, you know, after a game's over or after a concert.
You're just
everyone's just
there.
Trying to leave at once, and that's where you get into the gridlock.
Except this was a concert with
giant concert.
Millions.
Yes.
Millions. And lots of places to watch it. But yet a lot of people flocking to the more northern parts of the country, I noticed as well. Just a little more accessible from the Northeast, which is a little more populated. But, I mean, historically, for it went here, we were 86%. Still saw that cool effect
that
out
was
there.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get the lights completely shut off, but they dimmed it down all the way.
They dimmed a little bit.
And, you know, that was cool to see. Even with a few passing clouds, we got a good effect, I think, for an 86%. And, I mean, the next eclipse is going to be in 2044. So
you got to go to Montana, North and South Dakota for that one.
Yeah, and I'll be 44 years old at that point, which is scary to think about. But
hey, I'll be like in my 60s. So
well,
I plan to still be kicking then. I might actually go to this one.
In 20 years from now, well, there's going to be one in 2045, too. That'll go across the continental United States. That's going
right.
to be more of the widespread one. So I think that'll be our next big travel event. So I hope everyone's already planning for 2045, 20, what are we, 21 years from now? So, you know.
And that's the one where you don't have to leave the country. And there's going to be a lot of them in
there's
between.
One next year as there's, well right. in Europe.
You got to travel for these next couple of years. I mean, I think
if
that
you
Europe,
see.
I think Iceland's thrown in there at one point.
It's Iceland, England.
Maybe.
Don't quote. I know Iceland's one of them. We just talked about it this morning. But
yeah.
Iceland will have one next year, I believe. So there's always solar eclipses. It's just a question of where on the Earth is it going to be. And, of course, traveling internationally can be expensive, and especially when you have a large amount of people who want to see these eclipses, it can drive the prices up. So it's nice that it was more accessible for us here in America this go around.
Right, and a lot of these small Midwest towns, it was great for them.
Lots of money.
Lots of money. It was an event that brought people to their town. I know Carbondale, Illinois, I believe, this was the second time they had totality, I think. They're one of those towns that, from the last one in 2017, they had totality again, I think. I'd have to look that back up again, but I know that that's one spot that was lucky enough to have this event close by again. A lot of these small towns through the Midwest, upstate New York that we talked about where Eric went, and that's actually what made Eric Alf's trip great because he has family in Plattsburgh, New York, so it was easy for him to go there. You didn't have to pay
easy
for lodging.
Easy lodging, yep,
right?
Easy lodging there.
And it's, you know, there's so much room around those towns just outside of the towns where people can spread out. You know, they can find a field or somewhere like really naturey just to kind of sit
there's
and watch it.
Not a lot of buildings in this path of totality. It still went through a few big cities like Indianapolis, Cleveland,
Buffalo.
Buffalo, Little Rock, I think, as well. But a lot of those areas in the Midwest and upstate New York, like you mentioned, are very rural and, you know, leads to good clearing, also less pollution. So you really get a nice picture like Eric had with his videos and pictures and really good scene up there in Plattsburgh, New York.
That's right. And if you want to see those, Eric has them posted on his Facebook. He's got it raw and everything on there from the emotions of the event. You could tell he had truly a good time, and he was excited to be able to post that. He was with his family, too. It was just a nice little event in the backyard with where they're at. So and, check it out on Facebook, Twitter. And, of course, next week, Eric will be back, and we'll talk to him about his experience right here on WeatherWise. So we'll be sure to get into that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I saw that his video. It was really cool seeing literally passing by the sun. We didn't quite get that here. We got a little bit of that, but seeing the moon completely engulf the sun, if you will, it was pretty cool to see. And, you know, seeing just how it does go to looking like night out there and tricking some of the animals. I believe he mentioned he saw a bat as well as some mosquitoes coming out. So, you know, tricking some of the animals' internal clock who rely on that sunlight, tripping them out, which is, you know, for the mosquitoes, like, screw them. Good. Glad they got tripped up.
Yeah, but they get tricked. Yeah, maybe they'll be less inclined to come back out when they're supposed to here in a few months.
Exactly. So, you know, good news there. And with that said, I mean, really over the next few weeks, it's going to be pretty nice. We're starting to feel more like summer or late spring, we'll call it, 70s. And today we might get near 80, which is nice. I'm excited for that. That's my kind of weather. I like the spring period when we actually get spring, not this fake spring that we've had the last few years where we go from 50s to 85 in within a week or so.
Well, like how you call it fake spring or soon to be fake summer. We get into these patterns here in the mid-Atlantic specifically along the coast here even more so where you can have these stretches of 70s and even into the 80s and you think we're just coasted right into the hot season and then a coastal storm or some sort of boundary hangs out for a little bit or something that drives in a marine layer, a northeast flow that doesn't quit. And we go from the 70s and 80s to several days of temperatures in the 50s, on and off rain, sometimes heavy rain and wind. And you just go backwards. Mm. And it's not very fun for those who are trying to like get out to the beach just before, the season starts, the Memorial Weekend. There's a lot of everyone trying to get out there when the prices are good. And I guess that's why they call it off season still, because you never know what you're going to get out here in April and May. And even sometimes early June. So it's always tricky. The forecasting out here is incredibly tricky because of that.
Yeah. I mean, even this morning we saw that. It was, I believe, almost 60 in Ocean City this morning on Tuesday the 9th. And saw it was almost 60 there while inland there was a few spots still in the 40s. So seeing that Ole Miss inverse effect with the low temperatures. That's typically what we see with the ocean. It's warmer there overnight, but then into the afternoon, inland areas today, we're getting close to 80. They're only going to get into the mid-60s maybe. Just depends on that marine layer. And really in the transitional periods, you can get a very strong marine layer that plays a lot on the coast. And you can see big differences from the Delaware and Maryland beaches compared to just, I don't know, 15 miles inland. You go to Dagsboro in Delaware, Georgetown, a little bit more inland, and even like places like Berlin and Maryland, there can be almost a 10-degree difference in the temperature just within a few miles of one another from that marine deck that takes hold of a lot of the locations. And like you mentioned, too, the big idea over the next few days when we get that next cold front, that cold front's going to drop us maybe like 3 degrees almost. It's not really a cold front.
Not much of a cold front.
So it's going to be pretty nice into the start of the weekend. So pretty exciting stuff there in terms of our warming trend, but also opens the door for some severe weather.
Yeah, we'll have to watch for that, too. In the Mid-Atlantic, April is certainly an active month, more so for the Midwest and the Deep South, but we start to see some of those events ramp up around here.
Yeah, I know tomorrow there's looking to be an outbreak on Wednesday the 10th in the Deep South. A lot of severe weather already expected there, so that'll be something to watch and how much of it comes our way. I know we're just outside that marginal risk for Thursday. So we'll see if anything comes true this
week. Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And sometimes those events, as we get closer, the Storm Prediction Center typically ramps up their coverage, the marginal to slight risk. And those who are big into watching for severe weather know what we're talking about here with that. But basically the coverage on the expectation of severe weather from a certain point. And you're getting a little closer, those listening here on a Wednesday, knowing that something we might be talking about on air at this point, so you want to check out the TV side for that. We'll have those updates during our newscast. But that was an update from us here this week on WeatherWise from the eclipse. Like we said, next week, meteorologist Eric Alpha is going to be back to talk about the splendor of what he saw with totality in upstate New York. So we'll definitely have him on and get into that. And of course, talk about the rest of April at that point, too. But thanks again for listening and downloading and streaming another edition of WeatherWise from the meteorologist here at 47 ABC WMDT. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.